Ray's father once told him that if you ever jumped into the water to help a drowning man, he would try to pull you down with him, and there was only one way to save yourself and him as well. Drowning men were possessed, and they were supernaturally strong. But they were also weak as babies, seeing as they had lost all self-control. His father shook his head, his lips clamped thin, as if such a loss were the most pitiful any man might suffer. You could neither wrestle nor reason with a man in that condition, he explained. In a sense, he was hardly human anymore. Ray, 10 or 11 years old, had pictured the victim metamorphosing into a kind of ghoul, sinewy and slippery as the golem he had been imagining while reading The Lord of the Rings. So you would have no choice, his father concluded, his eyes narrowing and hardening behind the steel-rimmed spectacles, a gaze that always preceded a briefing on some unfortunate but unavoidable masculine duty. A drowning man would have to be knocked out cold. For his own good. A short, clean punch to the side of the jaw, that would be the preferred blow. After which you could easily complete the rescue, towing the victim into shore. In the boy's adaptation, the victim was tamed from raving fiend to serenely compliant human, slightly smiling, eyes closed, like those cartoon characters who always looked so gratified to have been knocked out. How rescuers who were not world-class water polo players were to find the leverage and stability to land a decisive blow while being dragged underwater by a panicking man was not a question the boy could have formed or would have posed. If his father said the operation worked, and he made it sound like one performed routinely in the summer lakes of Canada and the northern states, then it must. Over the years, Ray would hear other men, usually older, mention the technique often enough to gather that it had once been endorsed, if not actually practiced, by a whole generation. Now it seems as dubious and dated as the quaint medical certainties of another age. Yet this afternoon, as Ray's wife Inga, floating near the end of the dock, cries out and begins splashing and coughing, it's not the sensible modern rules of aquatic rescue that first leap to mind, but his old man's advice. Then comes the thought that he's not even sure what the modern rules are. He springs up out of the fold-out recliner and pulls off his sunglasses, his latest can of IPA tipping and rolling off the dock. The blood drains from his head. He is almost drunk. He was almost asleep. And the glasses slip from his hand as he stands swaying. His sight returns. There's Inga, treading water effortfully, using just one arm. Her sunlit face is strained. Another cough hacks out of her, but then she calls hoarsely, "It's okay, okay." "What? You sure?"
"Just a cramp. My leg, but I think it's..."
"Inga?" She winces, her teeth white in the sun. From the other direction behind Ray, a jocular voice calls down, "Hey, you two lovebirds all right down there? Okay." He shouts back automatically toward the cottage, where their hosts, Hugh and Allison, have retired for a little nap, as Hugh always puts it. Hugh and Allie enjoy a spirited, irreverent rapport, playfully and publicly physical. In the penumbra around them, other couples in their circle are never quite free of a sense of deficiency and demotion. With a choked groan, Inga vanishes as if something has yanked her feet from below. She flails back up, arms flapping and reaching. She could be a woman playing the victim during a lifeguard training session, or someone just ghostly fooling around. No, she is a decent swimmer, and she is no joker. She laughs readily enough with her friends and with Ray, even these days. But she dislikes physical comedy and April Fool's pranks of the kind that Hugh loves to devise. Ray charges down the dock and jumps off the end where a half-empty wine glass perches as if on the edge of a bar. The water here is deep, but he dives flatly, smacking his paunch and his groin and surfacing fast. He is an ugly swimmer, a heaver and splasher, his head always turtled above the water. He hates submerging his face, but he is strong and padded enough that he floats. All that's visible of Inga is her face tipped sunward like a tiny shrinking island. He calls, "Hang on," and she stammers back, "Help, help, help me now, Ray."